WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke fights a subpoena related to last August's violent white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. State lawmakers pass a big utility re-regulation bill that critics say could hike your electric bill in the future. And Virginia's distillers may get a break with a bill written by someone who happens to own a distillery. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, February 27th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Former Ku Klux Klan leader and Republican candidate for Senate David Duke is seeking to block a subpoena issued in a federal lawsuit filed by 11 people injured during a violent clash between white supremacists and counter-protesters in Charlottesville last August. The plaintiffs have subpoenaed Duke to produce communications and documents related to meetings he and other white supremacists had before the rally and efforts to solicit donations for the event. In a motion filed Monday, Duke called the subpoena, quote, vague, overbroad, unduly burdensome, and irrelevant. The rally drew hundreds of white supremacists and counter-protesters. The two sides began brawling in the streets before the rally began. Later, a woman was killed when a car drove into a crowd protesting the so-called Unite the Right ralliers. The lawsuit accuses the organizers of violating civil rights laws. A bill that would re-regulate public utility companies such as Dominion Energy is headed to Governor Northam's desk. Opponents, including Democratic Attorney General Mark Herring, say the legislation could raise customers' monthly bills to pay for new construction projects. From partner station WCVE, Craig Carper reports.
The bill would require Dominion to issue a limited amount of refunds for overpayments to customers and subject utilities to additional oversight from the State Corporation Commission. While the bill includes investments in the electric grid and additional renewable energy generation, opponents wanted greater regulatory oversight and higher refunds for customers. Democratic Delegate Lee Carter of Manassas.
This entire process on this bill has been flawed. It has been designed from the start to make sure that this bill is hard to oppose so that they can get the things that they want under the radar.
Republican Delegate Terry Kilgore of Scott.
Ladies and gentlemen, is it a perfect bill? No, but let's not let perfect be the enemy of the good.
The bill passed the House 65-30. Craig Carper, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
Virginia distilleries may be able to keep more of the money they get from selling spirits on their property. The Daily Progress reports that the General Assembly is considering legislation to loosen requirements on what distilleries are required to pay the state. Supporters say the legislation is needed because the state has overly burdensome requirements for distilleries that have limited the industry's growth. The legislation was written by Silverback Distillery co-owner Denver Riggleman, a former GOP candidate for governor. The Virginia Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control opposes the legislation, saying it would cost the state $4 million over the next 2 years. Lawmakers in Richmond are poised to crack down on employers who are cheating the system and their employees. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the latest from Richmond.
Worker misclassification. It sounds like a vague problem that might not amount to all that much, but lawmakers here in Richmond are very concerned about it. Carrie Delaney is a freshman delegate from Fairfax County, and she wants to increase penalties for employers who misclassify employees as independent contractors instead of full-time employees.
The way this is often identified as a problem is when an employee who thinks they're entitled to have workers' comp will go and file a claim and find out that, oh, your employer never actually claimed you as an employee, even though by the current law and the IRS code, that person should have been considered a full-time employee.
The Virginia Chamber of Commerce opposed the bill, but Democrats were united in their support, and a number of key Republicans supported the effort, including Senator Frank Wagner of Virginia Beach, who is chairman of the Senate committee that heard the bill.
Just from personal experience in a ship repair company, it goes on a lot more frequently than you care to think, and it puts those that are trying to comply with the law at a competitive disadvantage when they go to bid on jobs.
Now, Delaney initially wanted to increase the penalty from $75 to $300, but after moving the bill through the sausage-making factory here in Richmond, she ended up increasing the penalty to only $100. The bill narrowly passed the Senate, where most Republican senators voted against it, but now it's headed to the governor. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
In the wake of Florida's deadly school shooting, Virginia's U.S. Senator Tim Kaine met Monday with a group of concerned moms in Richmond's chapter of the national group Moms Demand Action. From partner station WCVE, Megan Pauley reports.
Rebecca Gendron was among the room full of mothers gathered to share their concerns about school safety. Gendron has one son still in high school, as well as a 22-year-old. She's a moderate and says she's outraged by a lack of consensus on what she believes are common sense issues, like universal background checks.
I keep hearing what a partisan issue it is, and I do not get it because it's about safety of our children.
Senator Tim Kaine agrees. He says adding background checks would enforce already existing bipartisan legislation barring firearms from 9 groups of people, like those with criminal records and serious mental illness.
The only way you can enforce that federal prohibition is to have a comprehensive background check system.
Background checks remain a top priority for Kaine, as well as the moms group. Megan Pauley, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
Finally, in the week before Christmas, the Harrisonburg Police Department sent out officers with cash to play Secret Santa and spread holiday cheer, one $100 bill at a time. One recipient said that earlier in the day she had prayed for money, and we wanted to know how getting it has impacted her. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz has this follow-up.
Maybe you heard this moment back in December. It's Harrisonburg Police Department Sergeant Ron Howard giving $100 of Secret Santa cash to Mandy McCarthy.
Do you think you could use $100?
Yeah. I prayed for God to give me some money this morning.
You did?
Yes.
Well, it's just your lucky day. I'm going to give you $100 here, okay?
Yeah.
That day, McCarthy told Howard about her difficult past, substance abuse, a suicide attempt, having her child taken away temporarily, rehab, and said that her lawn care job was her chance to give people messages from God. I wondered what that $100 did for McCarthy, so recently we sat down and talked.
I paid for my car insurance, which pretty much took almost all of it, but that was a big worry. When you are living at that level of poverty, really, you are pulling from here and pulling from there for every little thing, you know. $5 is a lot. So that's $25 bills. It's a lot of money. Even though it goes fast and it doesn't seem like a big deal, it's a really big deal to somebody who's living at that level.
I asked her, in light of all her difficulties, what keeps her going?
Oh, God. He is the only thing that keeps me going day to day. I go to him for everything, and he listens and he responds. I mean, when I got that money, I prayed maybe like 3 hours before that. So it was like a 3-hour turnaround, and that's not the only thing that he's been like that with.
That Secret Santa day, just her being on the street and visible, was an unlikely coincidence, a miracle of sorts.
I was doing the insides of people's yards with the leaf sucker, so I was in fences the entire time.
But after finishing one row of houses, she had decided to take a break and hear out the last bit of a sermon she had been listening to.
So that's the only reason why I was sitting on the side of the road.
A 3-minute window.
Yes. So if I would have not followed that thought in my mind, which was God, I would have been inside a fence and you never would have seen me.
I asked her if she has ever felt like God has not come through for her.
Yeah. I mean, that day, if we're being honest, I prayed for $300. So I only got $100, but you know, so, I mean, he didn't pull through for what I prayed for, but he has provided all along the way. I wasn't lacking in anything. Maybe lacking in wants or things that are not necessities, but I wasn't lacking, and I was okay with that. But I was, afterwards, I was like, where's the other 200, God? Come on now. And it never came. But he takes care of me, so, yeah.
Back on that December day, McCarthy said that when she first saw Sergeant Howard, she was a bit worried.
Wow. I thought I was going to be in trouble.
Well, heck no, man. Heck no. I was just out trying to spread good cheer, and I saw you taking a break.
That's really crazy. I was thinking, oh, man, it's about to go down.
Instead, the Secret Santa effort helped her rethink her own feelings about the police, feelings stemming from her difficult past.
There was a little bit of misunderstanding or bitterness or anger, I guess, maybe, towards police officers. And so that really helped heal my heart in those ways. I know in the story it said that they wanted to change people's opinions of police officers, and it really helped change mine. And so I'm thankful for that.
But there's something bigger, too.
We live in a world where everybody's just doing their own thing, going and doing their own stuff. And we don't always look up to see the people around us and to realize or acknowledge the struggles that other people are going through. And so for somebody to take a step out and go outside of their world and to come into yours, it can change people's idea of the world that we live in.
When we talked recently, McCarthy was confident she'd get a new job she'd interviewed for to be a peer support specialist, using her own story to help others facing similar experiences.
I want to help everybody that I can realize that there is hope in a world that tells you that there's not really any hope. And I can not only speak about it and say that there is hope, I'm just a living example that it can happen.
She started that job last week. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clemmer-Kurtz.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levy. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.